Hello and welcome to Right Through Now, the podcast that helps you stay connected with international news, science and technology, fun stuff. All right, let's begin. So, a bumper cloud of megabats has wreaked havoc on Adelaide's power network. With wingspans of up to 1 meter, protected grey-headed flying foxes are causing multiple blackouts a week. Australia's largest bat is making life difficult for Adelaide residents, with a heaving colony of more than 25,000 plunging households into darkness 40 times so far this year. I guess this is one of those things that, you know, we have to deal with because we co-occupy the space with so many different species and we're the only one that kind of needs electricity. I mean, we need it really bad. But I think we just have to get more inventive about the ways in which we distribute energy. This is a problem that I am personally familiar with as well, because this sort of stuff happens sometimes in the Himalayas as well, where it happens more often than not because of weather phenomenon. But every once in a while, a monkey destroys a pole. Don't ask. Long story. All right, let's see. Spotify's shared playlist queue feature expands to Polestar 2 vehicles. So last year, Spotify started beta testing group sessions, which is a feature that allows up to 6 people to share control over the music playing in the background of a physical or virtual get-together. Those involved can queue up songs, podcasts, and playlists, as well as skip tracks they don't like. I think overall, this is a great new avenue of development in, you know, in music. I mean, don't get me wrong, I am, as you could predict, deeply conflicted about, you know, online streaming platforms like Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music, Amazon Music, because I don't really know how much of a listen ultimately gets paid for. And that is one of the saddest things in the world, because if you cannot have your artists, your musicians, you know, being able to sustain themselves through their music, I don't know what kind of world we're creating for ourselves, especially with art being so important as a dimension in human personality. But that's just me. But I think relative to this specific feature, I think this is a great thing. Unless, of course, your friends are total assholes and just want to play something that you don't like. But I think overall, especially for car journeys and stuff like that, if you're with the right people, man, this can be a huge amount of fun. All right, let's see. So, the latest Google Arts and Culture exhibit tells you the history of electronic music. If you have any interest at all in electronic music, you owe it to yourself to check out the Google Art and Culture exhibit. Music Makers and Machines celebrates the history of the genre, highlighting the people, sounds and technologies that helped make electronic music what it is today. In other news, YouTube has pulled 30,000 videos for making false claims about COVID-19 vaccines. I mean, while I'm in favor of democratizing your voice and, you know, giving you the platform to talk to anybody you want to in the world, that's a great thing, I guess. But yeah, every once in a while when you have a pandemic or something of this magnitude, then I guess it might just be reasonable to control the kind of crazy stuff that's out there. I mean, On the other hand, this is really conflicting because, you know, what sort of precedent is going to get set during this time that, you know, ultimately will allow them to think this way a decade from now? Because we're living in a society that is increasingly convergent on, you know, people getting offended by stuff. And that, I guess, is a threshold that I do not want to see crossed, because people should have the ability to communicate difficult messages, even though, you know, they might not be received so well. But I guess, you know, I guess governments will step in defense of freedom of speech. At least the right governments will. But this, I guess, so far, I'm completely with YouTube on this decision. All right. Lou Ottens, inventor of the cassette tape, has passed away, aged 94. The Dutch engineer was also instrumental in development of the first CD in his work at Philips. Lou Ottens, the Dutch engineer credited with inventing the cassette tape and playing a major role in the development of the first CD, has died age 94 at his home in the village of Duitsel. Well, rest in peace, good sir. You've changed so many lives. Facebook has moved to dismiss the US government's antitrust case. Well, if I had a dollar for every time, you know, social media companies crossed the line and tried to get away with it. In 2 motions filed Wednesday, Facebook called on the courts to dismiss a pair of sweeping competition cases brought on by the federal government and a coalition of states. The Federal State Commission and a group of state attorneys general filed separate lawsuits against Facebook last December, accusing the tech giant of engaging in anti-competitive behavior. The two lawsuits make similar claims, alleging that Facebook bought Instagram and WhatsApp in order to squash the threat the two apps pose to the company's business. Additionally, the attorneys general accused Facebook of using its market dominance to stifle the growth of competing services. Yeah, we all know how that story ends. But I will keep you posted. All right, Toyota teases an electric car reveal on March 17th. Toyota announced earlier this year that it's gearing up for the release of its first mass-market EVs for the US, but now it also appears ready to show off one for Europe as soon as next week, according to a new microsite launched Wednesday called X Prologue, apparently. I'm looking forward to this. You know, we bring news of, you know, electric cars and innovations in electric cars more or less every episode, but it's so great to see that Toyota's in on it as well, because they're known for making some of the highest quality vehicles in the world. So when they enter the, you know, electric car world, it's going to be incredible. I mean, the benefit with electric cars is that they more or less have only one core moving part. And then, of course, you know, the wheels and stuff. But they have so much less stuff to maintain. And, you know, Toyota's had this history of making some of the longest running vehicles in the world. You can find examples of cars that have reached 1 million miles and still keep going strong. So stuff like that. I mean, that's why I'm super interested in, you know, Toyota's electric vehicles. Let's see. All right, so a cold era weapon. $100 billion US plan to build new nuclear missiles sparks concern. Scientists say the GBSD project is outdated and the result of lobbying rather than a clear sense of what it will achieve. The US is building a new $100 billion nuclear missile based on a set of flawed and outdated assumptions, a new report by the Federation of American Scientists will say. In other news, a German court has deemed ex-Nazi camp guard 96 unfit to stand trial. Man named as Harry S. accused of aiding and abetting murder of Stutthof camp in 1944 to 1945. A German court has halted proceedings against a 96-year-old former Nazi camp guard deemed unfit to stand trial, but ruled that he must pay his own legal fees. I don't know what to say about that. Honestly, I mean, the crimes that these people have committed were so heinous and so detrimental to humanity, but at the same time, what punishment, you know, what benefit comes from, you know, punishing a 96-year-old man who probably cannot even remember what he did? I'm curious to hear your opinion on this. All right, let's see. So what can people actually do after being vaccinated? It's complicated. Not even the experts agree. So I guess this is one of those avenues that, you know, many different countries are starting out vaccination programs. Most people in you know, the high-risk groups have already at least received the first shot and are probably in line to get the second one. Here in Europe, at least, things are really, really slow when it comes to vaccines. But let's see what the article has to say. The first raft of stories in the wake of the Biden administration's dramatic acceleration of the COVID-19 vaccine rollout in the US centered on all the things the newly vaccinated among us can and cannot do, as if we were working off a master list of approved activities. The truth is nowhere near that clean. No such list exists, and even the Center for Diseases Control and Prevention, the CDC, has only issued recommendations, not requirements. Even such basic concepts as risk are subject to variance of opinion, as I discovered while soliciting input from several medical experts across the country and abroad, the article reads. By the way, this is an article on the Scientific American. And as there are no clinical trials to address many of these questions, scientists are left to provide their best recommendations based on the interpretations of risk tolerance, both at an individual and population level, and the scientific virtue of knowledge and its kinetics. All right, this is not the same as saying that a safe haven has been established. Most experts concur that although we've seen declines in the new daily cases of the coronavirus since January, the US at least is still experiencing high levels of transmissions of the virus, with approximately 60,000 new cases reported daily and about 1,500 deaths daily. These remain very high numbers. Yeah, I guess this is a question that you should at least try to listen to your regional advice, because, yeah, the vaccines vary as well. So, physicists measure the gravitational force between the smallest masses yet. Fun stuff. A laboratory experiment captured the pull between two minuscule gold spheres, paving the way for experiments that probe the quantum nature of gravity. I think this is a really interesting avenue of scientific discovery, and I'm really interested in what happens with this entire branch of experimentation and science, because the implications for mankind are tremendous. Maybe 5 years down the line or 10 years down the line, it could be even longer, but I hope it's sooner rather than later. Physicist Marcus Aspelmeier vividly remembers the day nearly a decade ago that a visitor to his lab declared the gravitational pull of his office chair too weak to measure. Measurable or not, this force certainly ought to exist. Ever since the work of Isaac Newton in 1687, physicists have understood gravity to be universal. Every object exerts a gravitational force proportional to its mass on everything around it. The visitor's comment was intended to bring an increasingly fanciful conversation back down to Earth. But Aspelmeier, a professor at the University of Vienna, took it as a challenge. Quote, "My resolution was, okay, I'm going to not only measure the gravitational field of this chair, but we are going to go small, small, small," end quote, he recalls. The research effort born on that day has now produced its first result, a measurement of the gravitational force between two tiny gold spheres, each about the size of a sesame seed and weighing as much as 4 grains of rice, the smallest masses whose gravity has been measured to date. The results, published in Nature today, bring physicists one step closer to the distant goal of reconciling gravity with quantum mechanics, the theory underlying all of non-gravitational physics. This is just super cool stuff. In other interesting news, right to repair law to come in this summer. Manufacturers will be obliged to make spare parts for appliances available to consumers. I think not everybody has the skill set to fix stuff when it breaks, but I think a lot of people would be more interested if it wasn't such a pain in the ass, if it wasn't so difficult to find components that you could, replace or sort of repair yourself. So I think this is a great area that needs to be, the rules like this need to be implemented worldwide as soon as possible. And so it's really, really comforting that this stuff is coming in soon. All right, so ministers have confirmed that from the summer, consumers will have the right to repair on goods they buy. They are keeping a promise to implement EU rules aimed at cutting energy and bills and reducing the need for new materials. Many consumers have complained that goods don't last long enough and then can't be fixed in the home. Manufacturers will be legally obliged to make spare parts for products available for consumers for the first time, a new legal right for repairs. The aim of the new rules is to extend the lifespan of products by up to 10 years, and officials estimate that a higher energy efficiency standard will save consumers an average of around £75 a year on bills over their lifetimes. I think this is also an incredible step to protect the environment, because hopefully it reduces the electronic and electrical waste that we generate. All right, well, folks, thank you for tuning in. This has been our episode, and see you next time. Ciao.